Hey, this is Rob Unspach, and welcome to another edition of eHeroes. Today's eHero is J.B. Glassinger, and we're going to talk about being positive in a negative environment. I mean, because right now we got this corona thing just wrecking havoc on the economy, on people's lives, on in their fear. It's just awful. And J.B. has been a force of positivity for the last 15 years. And I'm just honored to have him on the show. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here, Rob. You know, we got to be positive, but it's a crazy time. I've never been through anything like this. Let me tell you, brother, it's weird out there.
And this is just, it's weirder than it was at 9/11, because after 9/11, people just, you know, it was all coming together for the common good of the economy. We were just, you know, full force to get things going back the way it was. Here is just a complete dead stop, and it was just it's horrible.
Well, I think, you know, and I think a lot of that has to do with social media. We didn't have it at the level that it is today, and I think there's a lot of unknown, right? Like, yeah, we're still trying to figure this thing out, and I think that's causing a lot of problems. There's people saying, well, the numbers just don't add up, which they don't, right? Yeah. But there's other people saying, well, they're underreporting tremendously. So trying to get the truth of the whole thing is part of the problem. So I think the confused mind says no, the confused mind gets fearful. And I think that's where we're at.
Yeah. I mean, I was in San Francisco in November, and you know, I hadn't even heard about this thing. But according to the timeline, it was in the United States in November, and no one knew about it. So yeah, why is everybody panicking now?
Yeah, it doesn't put it past me. I mean, there was a nasty flu that went through in December, January timeframe. I know a lot of my friends had it, and I have no idea if it was this or not. I mean, the symptoms are very similar. So there's just so many unknowns, you know, and that's why trying to keep people positive and moving forward is a challenge, because of all the misinformation out there, all the agendas, you know, the things that are going on in the world to kind of, you know, take people the direction they want them to. And as you know, the media and everything that's out there, social media, that's what it's about now, right? So trying to get people to open their mind up and not get so caught up is so critical.
So what's your advice? I mean, you've been doing this for 15 years, and you started out with the morning coach, right?
Yeah.
How do we stay positive?
Well, you know, I mean, this was in my advice 15 years ago, and it's my advice today, is that you've got to watch the sources of information that are coming into your mind, and just be aware. I mean, awareness and mindfulness are so critical. I know those are kind of woo-woo terms, but being able to understand why you're thinking the way you're thinking. If you're really afraid, well, maybe because you're watching CNN all day and they've locked you in, or Fox or whatever, and you've just sat there all day. Well, heck, if I do that, I'm one of the most positive people in the world. But if I do that all day, I'm going to be very negative. I'm going to be very scared. I'm going to be very worried. So, you know, just being aware of and having a filter of what's coming in to realize, is this the truth and what am I getting? We have a lot of cognitive dissonance right now, which means once you have a belief, you're going to start to see the truth or the facts of what you see or what you think. That doesn't mean it's true. It just means you have suddenly begun to believe that. And so this cognitive dissonance is starting to show it everywhere. It's like, oh, it must be a fact because, you know, I heard it here and now I'm seeing it all over.
You know, and I know that when you're a positive person, that actually affects your, not only your conscious being, but your health. And you know, the more positive I am, if I get sick, it's just I'm healthy like the next day.
Well, obviously, physiologically, we know for a fact that the mind plays a big part in the way that we live. In fact, you know, I lost my grandmother in July. She was 96, lived a great life, but I was there, you know, at the end, and we had to give her permission to die because she wouldn't. She was that strong of a woman. She was that positive and that motivated. She wouldn't let go until we gave her permission, said, you know what, Grandma, it's okay. It's time for you to go. And we know how strong the mind is. So if you're stressful and you're fearful and you're scared to death, your immune system is weakening. You're in a fight or flight response system, which is not healthy, which we know to recover, you need to sleep. You need to relax, you know? So if you're in fight or flight, your body's so panicked that you're not even able to recover. So that's not a good thing during a pandemic.
Right. Yeah. And it's just, and I see all these fearful people and people that I thought were very smart individuals are just, they're panicking like Chicken Little. It just, it amazes me that they can be this way, but I guess not everybody can be positive.
Well, a panic doesn't help anybody. And it doesn't mean you have to be, look, what's so funny is like, I'm this positive person, but I'm really not. I'm very cynical, right? I think you have to be cynical, right? I just don't believe much anymore. I've seen too many things. I did my MBA, did my PhD. I've been around the block a million times, right? And I'm very cynical. It's not that I'm that positive. I just know that in my life, if I can seek out the positive and search for it, my life is always better than if I seek out the negative and try to find the worst of a situation. Now, with a caveat, in business, Rob, I do look at the worst situation a lot of times before I invest because I need to know if I can handle that. But I think that's actually a positive. Like, I need to look at the negative. But in these situations, you got to dig deep and say, you know, what's the positive? And to me, the positive is this thing isn't killing people at a 40% rate. You know, to me, you know, I know we're under reporting numbers, but there's 1.3 billion people in China and it only affected 800. Well, let's take that 10 times if they're under reporting it. Let's say 800,000. That's still a minuscule number of 1.3 billion people. Now, I don't want to be insensitive to anybody because we don't want anybody to be sick or die. But the truth is, when you look at 1.3 billion, and let's say it was 1.8 billion people, that's still not, or 1.8 million people instead of 80,000. The numbers still are very minuscule in the scope of the bigger picture. Okay. Right. And again, I don't want to be insensitive.
No. And just because you get infected doesn't mean you're going to die. And I think that people are looking at this going, oh my God, I'm going to die. And I'm like, eventually you're going to die of something.
Well, and we're looking at the South Korea numbers, which have the most testing, and it's coming back at less than 1%. And they're finding that most of the people that are expiring are actually compromised, like they've had major systems or they're older. So, you know, it's one of those things where, again, not to be insensitive, a lot of the people that are passing away would have passed away from other things, the flu or whatever. We're just not reporting that. And we're not reporting any of the other diseases or anything else that's going on that are definitely outnumbering this. With the caveat that we have to take it serious. And I think we are. I think people can have this conversation, a rational conversation, and take it serious at the same time. You know, I don't think it has to be one or the other.
Yeah. I mean, these are crazy times. But, you know, 15 years ago when you started The Morning Coach, was that a crazy time? I mean, what made you want to start that?
Actually, what's crazy is I started in 2005, 2006, and I had failed. I wrote a book. It didn't work. I'd left corporate, tried to be a motivational speaker. I failed tremendously. We lost our home. I don't want to do the old Van by the River story, right? But it definitely was an ugly time. And a buddy of mine said, why don't you do something in the morning? And so I found morningcoach.com as a URL. And I got a old book, How to Build a Website in Dreamweaver in 24 Hours. And I think I built one of the first landing pages. I think I had one of the first ones in 2005. And the whole thing was, give me your email and I'll send you an 800 number to call in and listen. And the idea was to give people a way to grow and develop with a consistent strategy. Because what was happening to me is I was listening to Les Brown and Tony Robbins and Zig Ziglar. And every one of those were great, but they were giving me a different kind of idea each time. So the idea was to provide some consistency. And that's why I started it back then. And times weren't bad. But then 2007, 2008, the market took a dive. We had the real estate bubble burst and things got bad. And my business actually took off because people were looking for some different ways to get some positivity. And that really sprung board Morning Coach, right? So yes, it was negative like my second and third year as I started to do my show and iTunes started to feature me and I went top 25. And that's what really helped my business was the negative climate at that day because everybody was losing their, I don't know if I can swear, but their butt, I will say, in the real estate market.
You know, and the thing is, I think you're a prime example. And there's a lot of people out there that are prime examples of taking adversity, taking failure, taking life lessons, and turning into something that's viable, that helps people, and makes the money at the same time.
Yeah, well, it's definitely, you know, this puts a hamper on a lot of things, but the internet has definitely made it easier. I mean, I would never have been able to do what I've done if they didn't create podcasts and Apple and the ability to broadcast. I mean, I was competing with Tony Robbins, right? How the heck do you compete with that? It's impossible. But by giving me a medium to be able to go ahead and record and create a studio and build the podcast, you know, it gave me the ability to get out and meet a lot of people at very low cost. And so the barrier to entry to success has really gotten easier. And I think that's why a lot of people are fearful because now it's becoming tougher with this stuff that's going on, where it relatively has been easier, just as, you know, changing the remote control when we grew up on the TV, you had to go up and turn the TV knob, you know, and then they came out with the remote control. I think success has gotten easier over the years because of the vehicles.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Tony Robbins, and I had a client come to me a couple of years ago, and they said, I want to be bigger than Tony Robbins. And I said, why? Well, I want to be able to make all that money. I want to do this. I said, you're not going to be. And they're like, what? I said, look, stop wanting to be better than somebody else. Be better than yourself.
Yeah.
And they're like, they didn't get it.
Yeah, I'm so not into the vanity metrics. Like, you know what I mean? I'm deleting people off Facebook all the time. I mean, I'm a bottom line guy. I'm a, I call it ILD, intelligent life design. You know, keep your expenses as low as possible and create residual and passive income. And you can have, I don't want to swear, but I call it the FU lifestyle instead of FU money. And really, it's not that hard. I mean, all the research we've done is between $5,000 and $15,000 a month can create one of the most amazing lives that you can even imagine. Yeah. If you're willing to put the time in to build something over 2 to 5 years, it creates that type of residual income.
Yeah. I mean, I look at Tony Robbins, he's got the energy, he's got the motivation. He can get up on stage and speak for 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours. I'm like, no, for one, I don't like all those people. And two, that would drive me nuts. So I have to design something that's on my own terms with my own passion, using my own life lessons. And if I come across as a curmudgeon or a very sarcastic person, that's me.
I believe in separation of the audience. I love that. You know, there's very few unicorns, you know, the Casey Neistats, the Gary Vaynerchuks, the Tony Robbins, the Tim Ferrisses. We know them, right? Yeah. You know, Tesla guy, you know, yeah. Michael Dell,
Elon Musk,
you know, there's people that are unicorns, right? They're blessed. A lot of us aren't. And I think, you know, I teach this. So I'll just tell you, I teach people to go find 500 people to pay $2,000 a year with you, $167 a month. And that's a million-dollar business. Keep your margin super high by not having a lot of people work for you and not produce a lot of product. And that's why I got out of corporate, because I realized this was the best business model ever. I mean, I even looked at the MLMs and everything, and I wanted a freedom model. And it was like, wow, if I can get 500 people to spend $2,000 a year with me and value in products and services that I can create, I got a million-dollar business here. And guess what? If I'm running at a 99% margin because I don't have employees, that's a pretty damn good business, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of companies that are doing 100 million are making a million. So yeah, that's the way I teach. And I'm like, look, you said I can be a curmudgeon or I can be sarcastic. Well, that's great. Cause all you need is 100 people to give you $2,000 a year and you can make 200 grand. And that's more than most people.
I've written a whole bunch of books. I mean, I've written books on social media, SEO, podcasting, copyright, and these are all great books. And I thought they would all make me a lot of money, but I mean, they did get me clients. But my last two books were all sarcasm. I mean, Rob versus the Scammers, Rob versus the Morons. And because I made it all sarcasm, people would laugh. They would carry on. They would say, Rob, these books are funny. And they would hire me because they felt that I was real. I was raw. I was the person for them.
I love it. Yeah, it's all about separation. I think the people that are, I used to try to please the Walmart crowd. You know, I always say, you know, the girl bending over with the stamp on her butt, you know, and not to offend anybody, but I tried to make that work. And I would be like, I'm trying to help everybody. The truth is you can't help everybody. That woman's never going to spend a dollar with me. She could care less about me. So once I learned that, it was like, oh, what heaven. You know what I mean? I don't care if you like me. I don't need any more friends. You know, I'm deleting them.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think you've touched on some things, you know, talking about heaven, well, heaven here on earth, but you do a lot of golfing. And so when you're not helping clients, you're out there having fun.
I golf almost every day. I'm usually done by 9:30 in the morning. And so when everybody says social distancing, I'm like, I do that every day. I'm golfing all the time. So yeah, that's part of my thing. I came from a blue collar family in Indiana that really worked hard their entire life, factory people, you know, my mom and my stepdad. And it was really hard to see them, you know, the way they lived. And I just said, I'm not going to do that. And so, I built my business to take Fridays off and then Wednesdays off and then every afternoon off. And it was really a struggle, to be honest with you, at the beginning because of the guilt. But then I'm like, screw that. You know, I want to build a business that gives me freedom.
You know, I've been doing that a lot. I've been coming in the office. I get in the office about 7 in the morning. By 9:30, I go and have breakfast, and then I'm done by lunch, you know. And then if I need to come back, you know, in the afternoon for an hour or two, I can do that. But I've been restricting it to about 6 hours a day.
What that does, and you know, I wrote a productivity book called Sacred Six, but what that does, right, is kind of comes from this. It's like it forces you to get to that Pareto principle, because you know that 20% of what we're doing, it's true, is creating 80% of the results. So most of the time we're just sitting around just getting distracted. So when you cut your time off at 10:30 or lunch or whatever, it forces you to do what you need to do. And I think we're more productive than like sitting back at work back in the day when I started my corporate career and I'd sit there and work for 2 hours and act like I was working for six.
Yeah. You know, I get more done in the morning than most people get all, you know, get done all day long. And they're like, Rob, you produced what? You wrote all these articles, you did this, you did that. And you're like, it takes me a month to do that. Well, this is what I do every day.
Yeah, I've done 4,000 plus podcasts, you know, 100 plus videos, 28 courses. And people go, you golf every day? I'm like, yeah, I can produce a course in a day. You know, if I need to, I got Studio A and Studio B now that I've built, you know, and that's a video. I go in there and I've got my systems down to a T and I can just go do it. And I couldn't always do that, Rob. It wasn't like that at the beginning. I mean, it used to take me 4 hours to produce a podcast. It takes 20 minutes now, you know? Yeah. So it just comes with time and experience. And I think that's the gap that a lot of people don't want to jump. Right. Yeah. But once you figure that out, you can get systems in place that make it work.
You know, with these podcasts now, you know, just what we're doing now, I film it. And then I take the audio, split that, put it on the podcast channels, get some graphics, put it on there. It takes me like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know? And it's when I first started, it took me a little longer, but now I'm, you know, and I've produced so many of them. Same with videos. I don't do a lot of editing anymore. I just go out, do them and put them out there. And I'm producing content constantly. And people are like, Rob, slow down. It's like, yeah, if I slow down, then the world stops. No, I got to keep going.
I'm the same. I mean, I love it. I'm into it. And I think, you know, I've learned as you have over the years, the quality isn't that important. I mean, good audio is the key, right? The video is not that important, but as long as your audio is good, get stuff out there. And, you know, again, going back to what we originally said, you know, I focus on small numbers. I don't need the views. I don't care about the views. I want the right people to get the views, right?
And like you said, vanity metrics are terrible. And people are so caught up on insights. They're so caught up on the analytics. Look, I don't care how many people come to my website. I care about that one person who makes a sale from me. That's all.
So I joined Jeff Walker's mastermind and it was expensive, like 40 some thousand dollars for a couple years. And the people in there would be like, JB, how are you in business? You don't look at Google Analytics. You know, I don't understand. You have no funnels. You don't even know what a funnel is. You know, you don't launch anything. It's like, well, how do you even survive? You know? And I'm like, I don't care. I mean, I don't care about any of that stuff. And what's scary is when I started to try apply the techniques, and nothing against Jeff. I love Jeff and all the internet marketers. They're all great guys. But if I try to do that stuff, like I'm going to do a countdown and do this and then it never works for me. Never.
Cause it's not our style.
No.
I think everybody has to, certain things have to resonate. I mean, back in 1998, I had this carpet cleaning business. It was struggling. I mean, I was like 3 seconds away from bankruptcy. And, you know, I saw this ad for Joe Polish, you know, Piranha Marketing. And I flew out there. I borrowed money. But I started learning marketing, like you know, everything I could get my hands on. And within the next probably 6 months, I had turned the business around, started making money, grew the business. And then I got noticed and people were like, well, Rob, create our ads, write our articles, do this, do that. And, you know, many years went by and you know, after 19 years, I had sold that business and now I'm focusing on the coaching aspect, but I've been doing this for, I don't know, a decade. And, within the last 6 years, I've written 25 books and,
love it.
And it's just crazy because everybody, if they focused, can do a complete 180 of what they used to do to focus all their energies on making, you know, a better life for themselves, and most of them don't.
Well, and you just mentioned it, like, so, you know, two things in our success, right? Both of us produce a lot of content. Both of us have invested in other people, whether it's Joe Polish, Jeff Walker, whoever, you know, ourselves and our stuff, right? So I think success leaves clues. A lot of times I've invested in a lot of things. I didn't get much out of it, but just putting the money in it forced me to work a little bit harder. I'm like, gosh, I bought that course. I better do it. So I think it's finding your own way. And I think part of that is investing in a lot of those things, right? And that's why I say nothing bad against any of those guys. They're building their business, but I think you take bits and pieces of what you learn and you build yours, you know, and that's so cool. And Joe's built a heck of a business.
Oh yeah. Joe's done some incredible things. And, you know, he's, I think he's got, someone told me he's got a couple hundred people signed up for his 25K group.
And, 25K club. Yeah, he killed. Well, he's built, you know, the thing that impresses me about Joe is that he's built a networking group, right? So it's not so much about a technique. It's more about the people that you know. And I know there's a lot of very powerful people that got big lists in his group, right? Yeah. And that's what Joe's. I mean, it's so big now, he has to, you can't go to each one. Like, you got, you know, it used to be, you know, with these
masterminds. Too many people.
Yeah, I have a mastermind and we meet 3 times a year, you know, so you see the same people. But Joe, you got to schedule them out, I guess. Pretty crazy. I'm too lazy nowadays. I don't want to go.
Yeah, if there's more than 50 people there, I'm like, oh, you know, do I have to talk to these people?
Yeah, and that's the thing. You're a similar business to me. How do you explain? I don't even know how to explain Morning Coach. So unless I speak, my rule is unless I speak, I'm a keynote speaker, I don't network.
Yeah.
So if you want me to come to your event, I have to speak. That way I don't have to explain myself later.
I went to an event 6 months ago, and I don't even think I heard anybody speak. I stayed out in the hallways and just networked. And I got more out of that than I did actually being Amen. Inside listening. And to me, I like certain events, but some of them, they say the same things over and over and over again.
Well, you get to a level where you've produced 20 some books, right? And you've produced those. There's only so much knowledge that you can gain. I mean, it just is what it is, right? And it's like me, why I left Jeff's was not so much, I love the group more than anything, but flying to Durango 3 weeks and, you know, going out there from Florida, you know, it was going to be a challenge. You know, I would have stayed forever if it was like down the street. But it was just getting to the point where I didn't like to travel. You know what I mean? So it was like, I kind of wanted to hang out here. And I didn't need any more knowledge. Like, I don't need any more things to do. I got enough things to do. So I had to actually cut that down a little bit so I could get the things done that are on my plate.
You know, when I sold the cleaning business, I vowed not to have any more local clients. So all my clients that I help are, I think the closest one is 75 miles away.
It's very similar to me. Like, it's crazy. Morning Coach, for some reason, I do Monday for free and people pay $30 for the rest of the week. That's the model. Since 2009, I had 12,000 people in a membership site from 2005 to 2009, was growing broke. And so I said, I got to go paid. So I went paid and 1,231 people came with me in 2009. That was like $1 billion then, I got to tell you. But that's really what started my business. And now, since I've done money for free and there's 20,000 podcasts a month or some crazy number, 30,000 a month, you know, my podcast isn't rated anymore in the United States. So most of my new members are international. I have Australia, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, for some reason. My podcast is top 10 in Egypt. So I have members joining from Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Russia, but very few from the United States. It's so weird. So crazy. Yeah,
it's crazy where we can find clients now and clients that resonate with who we are.
Yeah.
And I mean, we are in a globalized society, which is great. You know, I love having clients everywhere, but in the same respect, sometimes I don't want to travel.
Yeah, well, so one of the things I did, I moved here into the country club. So I live on the golf course. I'm actually on the board here and I'm the golf.
That sounds committee horrible. Here.
Yeah. Well, we just purchased this. We got it for a steal, but it's a $16 million resort facility. So now I use that for my events. So I don't ever go. So my people come to me and I take my golf cart. So it's like, if I do a retreat or a mastermind meeting, I just take my golf cart down to the meeting facility and I have a $16 million facility. I don't even think Tony has that. So, and I got full staff and everything. So it's really great.
You're down in Florida.
Yeah, I'm in Parkland, which everybody knows kind of is the last big school shooting. I hate to bring that up, but that's where I'm at. But that's how people know us, right? So I'm actually a mile away from that school in Parkland Golf and Country Club.
Yeah, I'm not going.
This is a long time ago. It's actually like it's crazy because this is the quietest area in South Florida. It really is. It's a very affluent neighborhood for families. And then a lot of people have places down on the beach, but we have a lot of pretty big homes here. Not me. I keep it pretty simple, like I told you before, but we have a lot of business owners and CEOs here. So I actually have a lot of clients here now. I'm speaking for one in Cartagena, Colombia. Wow. I have places in Colombia too, but he's had me come down there and keynote. So really unique business. I mean, unique business trying to keep people positive.
I mean, I have a timeshare in Kissimmee.
Okay. Yeah.
Only because we do the annual homage to the mouse, but
Yeah, yeah. Orlando is the, you know, conference center of the world. I'm 4 hours south of that. If you drive 80 the way I do, or 90 sometimes, I shouldn't say that out loud.
The biggest human trap operated by a mouse.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because on our HOA board, Disney is the number one visited place in Florida. Sawgrass Mills Mall, which is an outlet about 30 minutes from house, is number two. And the president of our board runs Sawgrass Mills Mall. And I want nowhere to be in there. I can't stand people. So you don't want me around that shopping center.
So how do people get a hold of you?
They can find me at morningcoach.com. It's real simple. It's the site, or, you know, on Facebook. Everything I have is Morning Coach. Twitter, Facebook. I am the Morning Coach.
The Morning Coach everywhere.
Yes, copyrighted and patented and all that stuff.
Awesome. So there you go. We're running out of time, but I want everybody listening to rush over and say hi to JB over at morningcoach.com and see him on Facebook, see him everywhere. And just tell him, you know, you heard this podcast and hopefully he doesn't, disqualify you.
But hopefully we'll keep everybody positive. Yeah, and you could be disqualified if you're really negative.
You know, Rob, forget it.
Yeah,
nope.
Yeah, forget about it. I don't need you. It's good stuff, Rob.
So this was fun. And I want everybody to just stay positive, and we'll see you on the next episode.